Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I'm honored to share the microphone with really interesting entrepreneurs. They are authors, they are speakers, they are solopreneurs, they could be virtual assistants, they could be web developers, they could be just anybody. But these are people who have wonderful stories to share, and they are freely going to share the business wisdom tips and their actionable advice, and they're excited to do so. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome Tony Bodo. And I know better. Tony's a friend of mine. Tony, I'm sorry. I have to tell you, yesterday when I was doing the graphic, I actually spelled your name Tony Body. So there's a reason for this, I guess. So I'm welcoming today Tony Bodo and Kayla Barrett to the podcast. And they are the authors of The Complete Experience, Unlocking the Secrets of Online Reviews That Drive Customer Loyalty. Now, Tony learned at an early age the power of listening and letting people know that they've been heard. He started a lawn care business at 11 years old, and while his friends had one or two lawns to cut, he kept busy all summer long with 16 clients, including the local post office and the postmaster's lawn. He learned that while quality lawn care mattered, most people just wanted to connect and be acknowledged for who they were. Today, Tony is the number one best-selling author and the founder and co-author of five companies ranging from customer experience consulting to small business training to television. Light bulbs are one of Kayla's favorite things. More specifically, light bulbs coming on in people's heads. Happens to me all the time. I totally get that thinking. She is a thinker and practitioner in today's marketplace. She dwells on ways to help others move to the next level in their professional and personal development. Her industry experience spans 23 years in both the corporate sector and nonprofit market, where she has worn hats such as Director of Organizational Strategy, Director of Human Resources, and Director of Staff Development. Kayla's experience allows her to walk alongside your organization to identify your people development needs and then help you discover a hands-on approach that advances your organization's vision. Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Kayla. I'm so glad to have you here, and we'll begin with Tony. Tony, please tell ourself a bit about yourself that I may have missed in the intro.
I think you covered a lot of it. I worked in corporate America for about 15 years or so, and really spent most of that time building analytical systems for companies, so understanding how their companies were operationally efficient and marketing systems that we understood how to better convert people from leads to sales, et cetera. And so I spent the first 15 years doing that type of work. Part of that eventually went into customer experience. I would say unwillingly went into customer experience. My VP one day came into a meeting and said, Tony, you're now in charge of customer experience for our company. And they had about 2 million customers a year and multiple locations around the U.S. And I honestly had never written a survey and had hardly taken any type of advanced psychology class. So I had no idea what I was getting into, but that was back in 2007. And since then, it's been quite an adventure, and went on in 2009 to start my own consulting company. And this year, we launched the Complete Experience, the book, and a number of other programs and courses around it.
Now, how did you come to write this book? I mean, there's got to be a story there.
Well, there is, actually. When I started back in 2007, I was in the hospitality industry. And, you know, online reviews like TripAdvisor, they were there, but they weren't that significant as far as a driver in our business or in any of the analytics we had to do. Really, we were focused on internal surveys. And there was a shift, and that shift happened actually in late 2007, early 2008, as the economy started to really, you know, drop off as we had the recession. People got tighter with their money. And at the same time, we had iPhones coming out. And so you had availability of the web, very easily accessible. You had a shrinking of the economy. So these two things coming together, in addition to some other factors, really people said, hey, I want to be able to see what I'm going to buy before I buy it. I want to know something about this. And so TripAdvisor and some of the other sites out there like Yelp or Angie's List, these sites just boomed all of a sudden because people wanted to know transparently what was the experience like so I don't invest in this before I know what's happening. And so that's really one of the key drivers that we saw growing. And then over the last few years, Kayla and I have worked together on some projects in, you know, hospitality and some other industries, and we're seeing over and over again how online reviews are actually changing buyer behavior. So people are out there saying, I don't know if I want to stay at this hotel, or I don't know if I want to use this vendor. And they're looking online specifically because they have no other information. They don't trust marketing like they used to. And so therefore, as they go online and see this, we're now seeing that those reviews actually have a much more profound and significant impact on the sales side of the business, no matter what size company you are. So you could be an entrepreneur just starting out on Angie's List, or you could be on Yelp as a local restaurant, or you could be as large, you know, one of our largest clients is a massive hotel and, you know, got millions of customers a year coming through their hotel. And that just puts it in perspective that it doesn't matter who you are today, online reviews make a huge difference both in how you're perceived and who's going to buy from you.
You know, we're so used to it now, it's hard to remember that not that long ago we didn't have access to this. In fact, if you wanted to buy something, and seriously, I think it was only a decade ago, you had to go to that book. What was that big book, Tony, where if you wanted to buy a car or you wanted to buy a stereo, or you had to go to this consumer review book? For the life of me, I can't remember the name of it now. But
I think it was called the Consumer Reports, if I remember correctly.
Maybe so, but that seemed like that was the only place you could possibly go. And that was like the phone book. It was printed, and it, you know, by the time you got it, the reviews were out of date. And so this, how we do business now, even though it feels very normal to us, it hasn't always been around. And we depend on it. Look, I don't go anywhere without looking at reviews. I just don't. I'm like you. You know, I want to know, what am I in for? What are other people seeing?
Well, and what's fascinating, too, is that the book you're referring to, those were professional reviews. Those were people who spent every day reviewing cars and reviewing wash machines and reviewing hotels. And so it's like, you know, like AAA is an example. They have a professional review service. But what people really want is they want the consumer review. They want the guest side of things. How does the guest or the customer, how do they feel about this? And if you look as an example at we'll take the online reviews for hotels. What we have found over and over again is that some of the lowest rated hotels from a TripAdvisor perspective, let's say a 2.5-star hotel, they can actually have a 4 or 5-star rating from the consumer side because the consumers say, this is an amazing place. And there's no way it's ever going to reach that level. You know, they don't have the luxury to reach a 4 or 5-star hotel. You know, it could be a Holiday Inn Express or something like that. And we've got examples of that actually in the Nashville area here. There's one particular hotel that is a 2.5-star hotel, but it outranks most of the 4-star hotels from a consumer perspective.
See, that doesn't surprise me because, I mean, we're the one that foot the bills, right? We're the one that pay to go stay in these places or go eat at these restaurants or purchase these products or read these books. And really, we need to be heard, and I think that makes perfect sense. I think the big surprise for me is that it didn't happen earlier, but there is this whole advent of the internet and social media marketing, and that's been kind of a process. But again, it hasn't been really all that long. I mean, it's just a decade or better.
Yeah, it's probably, I would say, between 2007 and 2008 is really where we see the events happen in such close proximity that it really caused this wave effect. And then it's about 2012 where you start to see the hospitality industry just really, I want to say in a sense, the old ways buckled and people really shifted over. I believe the number, it's in the 80 percentile, 80, 85%, something like that, of guests review their hotel before making a reservation today. That didn't happen even 5 years ago, just to put that in perspective. We've gone through a massive shift. And a big part of this is that consumers are trusting one another more than they've ever trusted people before. It used to be, you know, 15 years ago, I would only trust my friends and family and people I knew, you know, that I had eye-to-eye contact with, had this relationship with. But I think now we've, as a society, we've begun to trust people through Facebook and LinkedIn and all these other sources, and there's so much more information available now that we're willing to trust someone, and especially if we look at a review site and we see 10 reviews that mention effectively the same thing, well, you know what? 10 people from different parts of the world are not going to necessarily be in cahoots with one another, so there must be some truth to this.
Right. Listen, it's so ingrained in how I operate now, and I can't believe I'm the only one, but you know me, Tony. I'm a voracious reader. I read all the time. Some weekends I'll read 6 to 8 books if it's one of those weekends where I can't get outside and work in the yard. And I'm on a Kindle list, and I download an awful lot of free Kindle books. Love them. I think I have in my Kindle library something close to 5,000 books right now. I paid for very, very few of those. But I have to tell you, in keeping with what you're saying, even if it's free, I'm reading the reviews first. I don't want to accidentally open up a piece of junk and go, oh, man, I just wasted my time. So I'm reading the reviews, and then I'll download the free book. I don't think I'm alone.
No, I think you're absolutely right on there. And so we had this, you know, constraint in our budgets a few years ago, and I think there's a lot of people still, you know, living through that. But we also today, because there's so much more information, like I said, the iPhone comes around, smartphones really show up in, I believe it was 2008, and in that time frame, now you have this barrage of information available in your hand all day long. So now time is of the essence for us as well. If it wasn't a challenge before, it definitely is now. So getting the right information at the right time for the right price, that all matters. And one of the things that we have discovered that really makes a difference is that when people are writing about their experience, I look at it as it's storytelling. They're all telling a story about what they believed their experience was. And I say believed because, you know, there's two sides of every story, right? Maybe three. There's yours, mine, and the truth. But the reality is this is what they experienced. This is what they believed happened for them. And so as they tell the story, we get drawn in when we read a story and the drama and the events that are happening. And part of really examining these and understanding this really led us to this deeper understanding of the patterns that show up. And if you were to give me a piece of feedback that I've never seen the product or anything else before, I can pretty much guarantee you I'll tell you whether it's an excellent, a fair, or a terrible rating. Just because of the patterns of the language that people use, because we all write subconsciously. We're just in the state of flow and just pouring out our story of what happened. But there are some key elements that show up over and over and over again. And that's the thing, especially if you're an entrepreneur, like a lot of your listeners are, and you've got your small business and you're on Angie's List or Yelp, you've got to know how to pay attention to what's being written there, because that is your lifeblood. And people are going to pick up these hidden patterns or the subconscious language even without realizing it. And you've got to be able to understand what's being said there so you can improve and fix the challenges, as well as, you know, help sell over objections if you've got objections that are coming in.
Now, you're talking about patterns in languaging. How did you discover this?
By reading millions and millions of reviews.
That would do it.
No, it was in part is software. We used... a lot of the work I've done, we've used software to analyze it. And so if you think about language, there's really a couple different elements of it. You know, there's the content, which is, you know, the nouns and the verbs and the adjectives, things that really give us the color to what's being said. And then there's the functional words, and these are the words that we don't even realize. So like personal pronouns, you know, the articles, a and the, conjunctions and contractions. And so there's all these other elements that help build the structure of a sentence or of a conversation, but they're invisible to us. And so there's really two sides of understanding the language. And one is what's being said from a content perspective. You know, I hated my experience. Okay, that's important to know. But then we can actually go deeper and we can see things like, as an example, in most cases on a 5-star review or an excellent review, you'll find that the person will use a lot more personal pronouns like I, me, and my. And what happens there from a psychological perspective is that they have totally embodied that experience as them. And now they're expressing it in that way. But if you go down to, let's say, a fair or a 3 on a scale of 1 to 5, there they're talking more about features and functions and things like that, and I got a fair deal. You know, there's no loyalty necessarily because they're saying, yeah, it was good. It's what I paid for. I got what I expected. But they haven't embodied this amazing experience, and so therefore, it's not really part of who I am. It's just something I used. But if you drop down to the one, you'll see this oftentimes very angry language. And the way they use personal pronouns are they actually will distance themselves and not use personal pronouns because they want to get away from the pain that it caused them. And so when you look at the combination of the content and the function words, it gets really interesting to look and see what's really happening here and what does this mean to them. And if you think about it, this is a person's life we're dealing with. This is not just a piece of data or a bit of information. This is life. And if you negatively affected someone's life, that can have ripple effects for a long time, not just on your business, but on their life, because if they get angry, they get off the phone, and then they have a conversation with their spouse, and they get into a discussion, and they get angry, and they spirals out of control, and then they yell at the kids, and who knows what that leads to, but that's just a simple example of how things in our life from one moment can spiral. On the other side, things spiral very well. Have you ever had someone buy a coffee for you at a, you know, Starbucks or one of the coffee shops? And you're like, wow, that felt really good. And then you go out, you're more generous, you're more giving, you're more helpful to someone else, and maybe you come up with a more creative idea. That's because of the psychology, the biology, everything that's happening in us. And so these reviews are not just about the words on the page and what it does for your business. That's really important. But the more important part, and I'm sure you can hear my passion here, is really about the individual. And then as Kayla's going to talk about a little bit later in the interview, what that does for your employees. I'm working with a cardiology office right now, and we're going through some of these, you know, very key principles of what really drives the experience for the patient. And as we talk through this, we're helping the employees of the cardiology office, even the cardiologist herself, really understand when they're on fire, when they're in the state of flow, when they're having fun in their job, that is transmitted like a virus, a positive virus. And it gets into the patients, and the patients love coming back. You know, maybe not for health reasons, but they love coming back because they've got a real relationship there with the individuals that work there.
You just described my dentist. I love going to my dentist. He is one of the happiest people I know. His office is happy. It's incredibly organized. I mean, they have got this business down to a science, but it's such a pleasant place to go. Who wants to go to the dentist? I do. I really like him.
That's funny. I was talking with a group of dentists two or three weeks ago. I was giving a webinar for them. And one of the things that I found as I was doing reading some reviews before it, was that there is a particular dentist in the Nashville area here. And one of the reviews was a person from Los Angeles, California, who flies to Nashville, Tennessee to go to the dentist because she loves this dentist so much. So it doesn't surprise me, but it's funny to see how what you described there, if you go back and listen to this later, you talked about the organized office. You talked about the experience. You talked about how they have the business down to a science. In other words, everything is moving really smoothly. Those are all keys that you're going to find. If you go read other reviews out there, you're going to see that over and over again.
That makes sense because you don't want to walk into something that is sloppy or haphazard. The guy, the dentist, the receptionist, whoever is, you know, providing services for you, they can be the nicest people in the world, but if you're already aggravated because you were made to sit in a waiting room that has a bunch of little kids running around screaming, it's dirty, you're not impressed at some level, right? So even though you get to this really great person, you're already at some, there's already some angst going on, and it's probably not going to be a great experience.
You're absolutely on target. I think you actually did read this book. I'm beginning to wonder here, Denise.
I didn't, but I know you. So.
Well, you know, it's interesting, the description you just gave there, you know, the first experience, and that's one of the places that we look when we work with companies is what's that first 15 minutes? That's what I like to refer to it as, because the arrival experience and getting ready, checking in, no matter what type of business you're in, if you're a retail store or it's the first few minutes in a conversation, you know, as a virtual assistant, the first time you're talking with someone or the visit to your website, if there's a negative experience triggered, a negative or an unpleasant emotion triggered, what happens biologically and neurologically is that our vision actually narrows. We don't have as wide a perspective of things in our mind or in our vision. And we get to really focus because it's a threat to us, an unpleasant feeling is a threat to us. And so we react as if we're being attacked. We react as if we're in fear and we may want to flee. And so, as you described, by the time they get to the doctor, no matter how pleasant the doctor is, in many cases, the damage is already done. And at best, you'll get a 3, because what they'll say is, you know, the doctor's really nice, but... And then they'll follow up with all the negatives. And so you might get a 3 there. And there's an example of that for a dentist's office. They said, you know, this dentist is really good, but he has no bedside manner or more no chairside manner. You know, so if you've got some thick skin, it's good. It'll be okay to go here. But that was a 3. That was a fair review. They got what they paid for, which was good dental work. But they didn't get everything else. And why it makes such a difference today, really, to go from a 3 to a 5, is that the 4 and the 5 on a scale of 1 to 5 represent the willingness and desire to reciprocate. In other words, you've gone above and beyond what they paid for, what the customer paid for, and therefore they want to give back to you because there's this feeling, almost like a gap or a vacuum. I need to do something for them because they did so much for me. And so if you can move from that, I gave them what they paid for, to going above and beyond, then you trigger this reciprocation and they want to come back. They want to tell people how great the experience was. They want to do something good for you. And, you know, they'll be less willing to complain about a problem that does come up on occasion because they know that you did really good things for them in the past.
Exactly. And I have to tell you how I came across this dentist. It was one of those things where I had made an appointment with another dentist in town, recommended by a friend who's been her lifelong dentist, and you know, I asked her, I said, do you really like him? She said, well, he's handy. He's, you know, he's around the corner. Well, that should have, you know, kind of given me a bit of an indication, but I went in, and his receptionist was so sullen. Tony, this girl looked like she could barely even raise her head up to say hello to anybody. And I went back for 2 consecutive visits, and both times she had lost my records. And both times she wanted me to fill out everything all over again. The third time I said, give me my x-rays and don't bother making me another appointment. And I went out and I got on every review I could find and I trashed them. I did, because I don't want anybody else going through the experience that I went through. And then I went and found my current dentist based on positive reviews. Best thing, I mean, it was a great, great decision to walk out of there and quit letting this girl stomp all over me. And she did. I mean, well, that was the most solemn little person. Look, that was 5 or 6 years ago. I'm still mad at her. I mean, just
well,
bringing it
just,
up, and I'm
you
thinking,
well,
you little
it, yeah.
brat. You little brat.
Well, it's interesting because what we see over and over, especially when you have a one-star review or a terrible review, the language there, it'll have all caps in it. It'll have, I've been robbed, or I've been stolen from.
Right.
And it's funny because when you look at those reviews, what's really happening there is people are taking revenge. In other words, so let's take your instance there. You've got the dentist, you know, maybe the dentist, you didn't even talk about the dentist. You talked about the receptionist. You talked about the person
who made
the appointment.
Oh, he was a nonentity in that office. He didn't even exist in that office. It was so bad from the front that by the time you got to him, you're just shaking with anger. I couldn't even tell you what he looked like.
You totally forgot him. And really comes down to, at that point, you need to be made whole.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you want to be made whole, so you're going to go out there on all these websites and trash them, one, to protect other people, because you have this, most of us have this social side of us, and we want to protect people from, you know, dangerous situations and that. So we reach out and do that. But there's also the side where, you know what, I'm going to get back at them because they took from me. Now, none of us want to admit that we get revenge, but all of us think that way. All of us feel that way.
I did.
And we tell
I'm
that.
I'm telling you, I was mad. I was very angry, and both of those things came into play. I was going to express my anger and displeasure, and truly, I didn't want anybody else going through what I went through, but mostly I was just mad. I'm still mad. I drive by his place, and I go, and I stick my tongue out at him. It's rude.
Take a breath. Oh.
Okay, I'm good.
No, so these online reviews are really, as you just described, are very important. And we see over and over businesses. So, you know, again, whether you're a small business, let's say, you know, entrepreneur, you know, a startup business, a small growing business, you've got to pay really good attention to those, really close attention to those. And now, does that mean everything that's said there is true? Not necessarily. But no one knows differently. So you may know something different, but no one else out there that's reading that review knows differently. So, you know, one of the examples of something you want to think about is if you've got a review out there, you want to go respond to it. If it's a positive review, thank them. Show them your appreciation. If it's a negative review, don't defend yourself. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge that, you know, we're sorry that you had that type of experience. We're sorry that, you know, this isn't the way we'd like to do things, and here's how we'd like to make it up to you. You know, please call us, and, you know, you don't want to necessarily say I'm going to give you $10 off or whatever else, because then you get a lot of negative reviews. You know, behavior is modified that way. But you want to invite people to give you a call back, to help, you know, if they can help you in some way. And so it's important to recognize that as you have these reviews out there, you're monitoring them, you're engaging them. Hopefully you don't end up having a negative review, but we've seen reviews where people go out there and leave a really bad review, and as a result of that, the company comes back and they make things right, and so the person goes back out there and adjusts the review and says, this is what happened, but let me update you and tell you what they did for me. Now, that is rare that it happens, but it is a really good thing to do.
So basically, if you get a bad review, let's say you're a hotel or you're a dry cleaner or you're a dentist, whatever you're doing, instead of going back and getting snarky with the person or getting defensive, you do everything you can to make it right. If it can't be made right, and I assume that there are going to be those people you can never make happy, what do you do then? What happens then? Or does anything
happen? In essence, you know, you want to apologize. You want to take that offline to some extent. So you want to apologize and encourage them to, you know, if you have their information, tell them in the review, we will be reaching out to you and be very specific. You know, we'll reach out to you on Tuesday, or we'll reach out to you within the next 24 hours, and then follow through with that. Because if you don't follow through, that just leads to another failed promise. And so when you follow through them, if you determine that there's really nothing that you can do as an organization or nothing that you're willing to do, maybe they're demanding far too much and it just is not worth it to you, then at that point, you know, just put some closure in it. Say, I'm sorry, we can't serve you. We'd like to recommend another company. You know, there's another provider out here that you might be more happy with. One of the things we have to remember as entrepreneurs, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur, Kayla's an entrepreneur. Not every customer is the right customer for us. And I would estimate roughly 30 to 35% in my experience for a lot of companies, those customers are not right for them. They cost more than they're worth. They complain more than you can ever get profitability out of it. So you want to be aware. You want to listen first. You want to look for where's the truth in this. But at a certain point, you step back and say, you know what? I don't think this is my right customer. I don't think there's any way I can actually serve these types of customers. If I had 10 of these, would I be able to serve them effectively? Or is that just not my cup of tea? Is that not where my business is focused? And so if you get really clear, and honestly, in the last chapter of the book, we really go through how do you know who your right customer is. We give a 15-step process to walk you through to say, here's how you write up a vision, a descriptive vision of who your right customer is and what that right experience is. And I think if people would go through that process, it's probably something most people that are listening haven't even thought of doing. But if you go through that process, then you can look at a review and say, hey, did we actually achieve what we said in our vision we were going to do? And if not, how do we fix that? And if you can't fix it, well, is this person the right customer for us or not? And then you can say, we don't want to attract more people like this, so how did we attract them and how do we not attract more of those? And that's part of the process that we go through as well.
I'm having this very definite sense of deja vu. I know we've had this conversation before. I know we have.
Oh, yeah.
You and I.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And it was a while back, but wow. Okay, so Tony, before we go to Kayla, what were some of the surprising things that you've learned about online reviews while you were researching this book? I mean, what kind of stood up and went, really? I didn't know that.
Well, one of the things that really stood up to me was the personal pronouns and really looking at personal pronouns and realizing that I call it the embodiment factor, that in one research study we did, people would use more than four I's in the positive reviews, and they would use far less than that in the negative reviews. And so it was just really surprising, because then what that means, why it's important, think about your emails you're getting back and forth with your clients. They haven't yet posted a review online, but if you see a client sending you an email and the language is like, oh, I'm not sure if this is good or bad, then you start looking at some of these deeper things like, oh, they didn't use any personal pronouns. That's not such a good thing, because now they're trying to take a dominance factor. They're trying to distance themselves a bit from you. And so you may want to say, I need to do some relationship building here. So that was one of the surprising things we found. Another one is that, and this one is really key, and I waited till the end here to share this one. Three positive experiences in every five-star review, no negative experiences that are unexpected, and no negative experiences that are unresolved. That is the magic formula to getting an excellent review or a five-star rating.
Say that again? I think I got it, but go through those steps one more time.
Absolutely. It is three positive experiences or positive moments. And the key there is they're different types of emotions. They feel different things. Then you have no negative moments. So if you let them know up front, as an example, that, hey, you might experience this, and it might take you a little while to log in, or it might take you this, or it might happen this way. If you give them that information on the front end, they know to expect it, so it doesn't count against you. And then the last part of it was no negative experiences that are unresolved. So if something negative happens, you've got to go out of your way to resolve that, or you won't get a five-star rating.
Right. Okay, that is brilliant. And now that you've said this, I am going to be really examining emails that go back and forth between me and my clients and me and potential clients. And you know, normally they're fine, but every once in a while you get one that you feel a little hinky about. Now I know what to look for. So I'm going to be reading your book this weekend, just so you know. And let's talk very quickly about online reviews for Amazon, or is this something I should ask Kayla about, because I know we're cutting into her time now. So Amazon
and Google Plus, I think those are
big reviews for online entrepreneurs.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're actually, as an example, go to Amazon, look up our book, The Complete Experience. And if you go through those, we've got all five-star reviews right now as of this recording. I hope it stays that way. We've got 14 or 15 of them out there. And what you'll find over and over as you look through those is you can see that there are three or four different ways that people express this book helped them. You know, it helped them, think about their employees differently. It helped them think about the experience that they're providing differently. It helped them rethink how they were doing something, a particular process in their business. So they'll describe three or four different ways that it was a positive for them. And, you know, you're not going to find any negative experiences. You're not going to find any unresolved experiences. In fact, the book only takes between 60 and 90 minutes to read, and that's one of the common themes is how fast they were able to get. It gets right to the point. And so you can look at a book online. You can look at a product online. You can look at, you know, whether it's Amazon or Google Plus or any of these, and really look and say, okay, am I getting a lot of five-star reviews, three-star reviews, one-star reviews? Where am I getting? What have I recently got a lot of? And then you can start understanding once you see what you're getting is you look for the themes in there. What are the common things people are talking about? And you don't have to be an expert to do this. You can just start examining. The key to be aware of is if you find yourself getting defensive, you want to pause. And you may even want to have someone from the outside come in. That's why a lot of companies bring us in, actually, because they find that their internal staff, they're not aware enough to see what's actually happening. They're not aware enough to see these hidden patterns. And so they end up just repeating the same process over and over again and not really getting the results. Whereas when you step back from it, have a third party really look at it, they can see things that you can't see because you're too close to it.
And that makes sense. I mean, anytime I've wanted to fire off an email because I was cranky or it just struck me wrong, I've learned this about myself. I always write my response, and I let it sit, and then I send it to a trusted friend and say, can you edit this? Because I do not want to send that thing off. It'll just cause, you know, problems. And I have found that that works, because somebody else can take a very measured response to what I have written and tone it down and, you know, keep me viable at that point. Because, look, I'm hot-headed. I mean, I can get cranky quickly. I think most of us can't. But I've learned not to just respond in a knee-jerk way.
Absolutely, and that's part of it is, you know, we naturally respond because, again, we're trying to protect ourselves. So when we're reading these reviews, we may have
fight
that
or flight,
reaction.
Right.
Yeah. So you just you monitor yourself. If you feel that coming up, then you just pause, step away from it, maybe have someone else, you know, maybe have a friend or a colleague or someone that works with you, you know, have them take a look at it. What's your take on this? You give me an honest opinion of this. And it's important to do because, again, the more you have this good perspective of your business from the outside view, the more you can turn around and actually improve your marketing, improve your attraction, get the right clients to come to you. So the value of having 5-star reviews is that it's going to attract more people that want that type of service. And if you can consistently provide it, you're going to get a lot more 5-star reviews, which generates a lot more business of the same type.
Exactly. Tony, thank you. I mean, you have given me a lot to think about, and you've touched on some things that I think are really, really important for my business, as well as everybody who's listening. So thank you for that, and we'll go to Kayla now. And Kayla, I think you're going to be talking more about employee behavior as far as online reviews, right?
Yes, that connection or correlation between everything that's happening online that your customers are telling you, how does that relate or even impact what's happening with your employees?
Okay, so do you have some examples? I mean, I know you guys are working with a lot of big companies, so it's a bit of a stretch for me to figure out how this works because it's me and, you know, I've got a small core team of virtual assistants and web developers that I work with, and we're all a pretty tight team, so I don't think I have some of the issues that y'all are talking about. So could you walk me through maybe some of the things that are happening in these companies that you're seeing that you're either harming them or that can be course corrected right away?
Absolutely. You know, so there's kind of, to me, an interesting correlation to what that implication really is on the employee side. So as Tony mentioned in the first part of our time together today, that there's some hidden languaging that occurs with those online reviews. And specifically when you move up to that top 5 ranking or even that bottom 1 ranking, employees are mentioned by name. It's not that this hotel was not a good place to stay. It was Sally was rude to me at the front desk and made me wait
that.
For 5 minutes.
I
right?
did that with the dentist. I made sure I knew her name and I got it out there.
Yes,
like I was mean.
It's personal.
I was downright mean. Oh, it was. But
it
I made sure
that
everybody knew it wasn't the dentist, it was her. But because he allowed that, it was him too.
That's exactly right, and that's where you really see that correlation. So if a business is looking for stronger reviews, meaning we want more of those 4 and 5s on a regular basis, what that means is for the employee that is inside that business providing that service, you have to ensure there's a consistency happening across every possible touch point with the customer. And that's really where you begin to find what has worked so great for Tony and I is Tony's living in that customer world. And so what's driving the experience with the customers? Well, it's the employees. And so you've got to have that consistency among every employee to be delivering that 5-star performance. And here's the other aspect of that I think a lot of businesses are starting to realize. There is a very real war on talent right now, on good talent. You know, he mentioned what we've seen and what we saw in the economy as it began to really struggle. And then in 2011, 2012, we began to see that stabilization occur. Well, what's happened with a lot of businesses, particularly our small to mid-size, you know, this new business model of learning how to do business differently in a more lean fashion, less with more, putting a lot more responsibilities on employees, has become a new normal. You know, businesses have not shifted back to behaviors that existed before 2007, 2008. And so what that begins to create is the really good employees are in really high demand. And smart businesses know that. So they're going after these folks that know how to deliver that top 5 performance to businesses and for customers. And so I think that's where you really begin to see, you know, what Tony described as critical to understand what your customers are telling you. And then we immediately go in that mindset to say, what does that mean for how we're functioning inside the business? And so you asked for some examples. You know, we've done a lot of work in the hotel industry, but we've also worked with lots of other industries as well. And that, what I love about principles apply in every situation. If you have customers, this concept applies to you. On a small business that has just one or two people that might work part-time, to a hotel or a large corporation that may employ 4,000 and 5,000 people, the principles are still the same. And so what we began to find is those ones that Tony was talking about in that languaging is, you know, the business robbed me, but you know why the business robbed me? It's because you allowed Tony to act the way that he did with me. And I complained about it. And instead of that being resolved and fixed on the spot to make it right, I was told that there was a policy that we were following, or there was an excuse as to why the business responded in a certain way. And where you, the two of you talked a bit ago about how positive and how strong those emotional connections are and those lingering emotions that exist, we don't forget that. And so that connection to the employee and how they behave really crosses the entire spectrum. We have to understand what a five really looks like from our business. Specifically, how do we want employees to greet a customer? How do we want them to solve a problem? What language does that even sound like? How do you create emotional connection with your customer? And you learn that in many ways by finding, where do we have ones? And we certainly hope not. But if we have one and two reviews where customers are blaming us that they were robbed for their experience, then what can we learn from that to, in fact, completely reverse that with our employees so that we begin moving up that scale from a 1 to a 2 to a 3 to a 4 and ultimately that 5 top score?
I have a question. What, when you're going in and you're working with these employees and you're setting up new kind of paradigms, is there pushback from some employees, or do they go, yeah, we can do this, this is great, it gives us a little bit more one-on-one with the customer, client, whoever it is? Or is there a bit of pushback going, well, this is the way we've always done it? Or is it a combination of both?
You know, I would say, Denise, it's really a combination of both, because the company's culture, existing culture, is really impacting that in many ways. So for those businesses, those employees that say, oh, finally, tell us what to do. You know, there's a large assumption out there that everybody knows how to, that it's common sense, right?
Right.
You know, you gave us our, you know, your dentist example was so great. Who in the world would think it's okay to give a customer the experience that you had, but yet it exists, right? And so, you know, that those employees and those leaders that say, oh, finally, it's really breaking it down into not just how do you provide service. Every company out there claims they do that well. But very specifically, how do you connect with your customer? So now we're talking about an emotional connection. We're talking about a psychological connection. We're talking about an intellectual connection. How do you do that? So you actually have to teach that. You have to experience it. You have to let even your employees experience that for themselves so that they can in turn provide that to customers. For those businesses that we have found that are a bit, they're a bit defensive what we've done has always worked. Well, clearly the data is telling us it is not, right? So they have to see from a data perspective and even from an experiential perspective what merit could be in this negative experience. And what we find there is the data is very overwhelming when we begin to show these are the real trends in your reviews. And here's the outcome of that. And so you start at it from that standpoint. And, you know, and Tony shared with you just a bit ago, you got to figure out who your real customers are. There are businesses out there that I would say probably aren't a great fit for us because of that mindset you just described. We want to help them. We want to help every business wow their customers. But there does have to be a willingness from the business leader at the top to say this is a priority. And then let's go on that journey and figure out what that needs to look like.
Now, does the business owner or leader, manager, CEO, does there come a point where they have to make a decision to let people go because they're just not going to change their ways, they're in transit, they're just not going to do it?
You know what? The hard answer to that is yes.
Yeah,
and that's probably one of the toughest things we face. Let's go back to your dentist example. Let's say that individual is just having a terrible day. And you know what we're describing here is not perfection. We're human. We're fallible, and things are going to happen. So one bad day does not equate to a termination. But I would just wonder, are you the first patient that has experienced that from that individual? And we don't know the answer to that, right? But the trends in that behavior, and that goes back to, again, you said, you know, are there people out there that hunger for this and go, oh, finally, just teach me, help me do this well. With those types of employees, we've worked with folks that are pretty rough around the edges at first. You know, I call them prickly. So I'm going to put that mental picture.
I know people like that. I am one of them.
Oh, and we know we can all be one of those people from time to time. Everyone has that bad day. But I'll tell you, those are, you know, that's why I like the light bulb aspect of what drives me. When someone finally gets it and they go, I had no idea I was coming across that way. I had no idea when I used the word policy. I thought that was a good word to say to a customer, but I'm actually creating more defensiveness with them when I do that.
And distance. I mean, you have effectively just told the customer, this is the way it is, and if you don't like it, oh, well.
Oh, sure. Policy is a really, it's a fancy word for no.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And most, and I'll tell you this, Denise, most employees don't understand why the policy exists to begin with. So to say, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, but our policy doesn't allow XYZ. Part of the work that we do is really helping businesses step back and say, have we looked at a critical eye at the policies that we have in place? Why do they exist? You know, and policies are good. Policies aren't a four-letter word. They're good if there is a reason behind them and employees know how to use them to ultimately take care of the customer. And so that's where you begin to find, you know, if you do have those folks that just can't get on board, even after investing in teaching them and coaching them, then you know what? They are a true detriment to the experience that you're promising to every customer. And there is a business out there for those individuals, and, you know, tongue in cheek, you want them to go to your competitor. You know, if you're not going to give that great experience, why don't you go down the street? You know, and here's the other part of that, and there's seriousness to this as well. There are we don't seek perfection. There's no such thing, but we seek the striving. You know, am I always working toward trying to provide the best service? And if I had a misstep, do I have an honest way to look at that and acknowledge it and try to do something with it? If I had a bad day, I need to chalk that up as a bad day, but I also need to be working in a culture where if Tony and I are coworkers, he can say, hey, well, I got to tell you, you're prickly today. You know what? You know, all of, you know, your horns are showing. So I just want you to know that your voice is abrasive today. I need to know that. And in this culture of that whole complete experience, you create a place where I can, instead of being defensive to Tony when he tells me that, go, thanks, I had no idea it was that strong today. So how do I dial that back? And
right.
there's
thanks
just a
for the
lot
cup
of
coffee.
Positive.
Well, that's
yeah.
where the Starbucks thing comes in. You
exactly.
give them a gift and then go, hey, by the way, knock it off.
Exactly. I mean, we create a sequence, I do, with some of our clients, and Tony and I together do. You know, safe words are wonderful. You know, I have a business, and they've got employees, and they do provide great service, but they've got some folks on the front line that are a bit hyperactive. They have a tendency to get really, really excited, follow through, and so squirrel has become the safe word for their front line. You know, and all they have to say is Kayla Squirrel, and it's that quick tongue in cheek. Funny but yet true reminder to go,
right.
I need to focus. I need to focus. And that's the kind of environment that we're trying to help businesses develop, but be very serious. You know, one of the things that we're learning through this process is you have to share what's happening with your online reviews with employees just like you would where are our sales. It's a metric for the business. And, you know, what do we do with that? So, you know, we would certainly want to keep, I would want to keep you as one of my employees aware of, are we hitting our sales goals this month or this week? it's no different. What our customers are saying about us is a very important metric for a business once you begin to incorporate that into the way you do business.
Well, and that makes perfect sense. So basically, and I'm listening to you, what I wrote down was, we're talking about a very big difference between customer service and customer experience.
We are. We are.
And it's amazing that people are just now figuring that out.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's some interesting articles out there about that very thing. And one of the things that I've seen on this employee side is the same shift happened on the employee side of the business about satisfaction versus engagement. There was a lot of talk and work about make sure, you know, do you have a satisfied workplace? Well, satisfaction is very temporary. It's fleeting. Versus, do you have an engaged workforce? And that term's starting to get overused a little bit out there, but it's so critical in the work that we're doing, because if we're serious about our customer experience, that means we're serious about the employees we put in front of them. And I don't settle for someone who is not really engaged in the business. And what I mean by that, Denise, is so if we were to take a hotel example, an engaged employee would understand the importance of providing a complete experience to the guest. So you're sleeping here, but what else could you do while you're in our hotel? We have a wonderful steakhouse that we'd love for you to experience. And an engaged employee would talk to the guest about an amazing meal that they could have there. Our steaks melt in your mouth. And they know that, number one, because they have likely eaten there, so they can actually describe it. And they know what that experience feels like. So they begin to talk to guests about, what are you going to do while you're here? And they describe that experience in a way versus following a script that says, we have
right.
three restaurants here on property. We hope you can eat at one while you're here.
So they're weaving a word story.
Oh, it's huge.
A word
and
picture.
It's that connection.
Yeah.
You better believe it. And so those are little things, but they have such a profound impact on what Tony was sharing earlier on, you know, you've connected to me in some way. You wowed me in an interaction that you had with me. And that's where you start to see those subtle changes, and you really do start to see the positive impact of even how employees feel about those experiences and how they look forward to, you know, I'm so excited because Mr. Smith stopped back by the front desk at the hotel and they went to the steakhouse last night and they loved it. That's
kind of like
when you really see the full loop.
Right. I mean, what you're describing is basically behave like a concierge. The concierge mm-hmm. knows everything, knows where you're supposed, you know, you can go, but gives you really good reasons why you might want to go there.
Oh,
so
you buy into
what he's telling you. Yeah. I mean, a good concierge, I mean, they're worth their weight in gold, aren't they?
They are. And you know what? It's so crazy. We trust them. We don't
mm-hmm.
know them, but we trust them. And so we go to them and say, what are your recommendations? Well, they recommend it because they've experienced it.
Right. And they're able to build that word picture for you.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what if I'm hearing you correctly, and I think I am, is that you want businesses, we all want employees who are engaged, but who are really, and not just engaged, but who are just so part of the process. They're like, look, you know, we've got these Natchitoches meat pies down here. They're really good. You know, and you can say, okay, yeah, the crawfish ones are really good, the meat ones are good, but man, you got to try those shrimp. They'll make you want to go outside and kick your tires. They're that good. That's kind of what you want, isn't it? You know, that's enthusiasm and authenticity.
Oh,
but
and you can't fake that. When you use the word authenticity, you really can't. Once you begin to create a process inside the organization, it's how we function, and it is supported by data. That's what our customer reviews are telling us, and it's also linked to what do we want our experience to be. Tony talked about the importance of defining that. A lot of businesses think they've defined it. And, you know, here's the cold water we can throw on that very quickly. There isn't a business out there that says that they don't provide great service. There isn't a business out there that doesn't say our employees are what makes us different. And I kind of snicker at those promises and those statements, because I, you know, my question to that is, could that be proven in the court of law? Could you prove?
Good point.
We're better. We really are better than the guys down the street, and here's why we're better. And that's taking this stuff to the next level, and then it's in a very doable way. This doesn't have to cost, you know, a huge amount of money to do. It starts with lots of baby steps, and a lot of it is just, you know, say, read this book, and it gives you a really good starting point to go, I really hadn't thought about that in that way before. And we really haven't made what customers are telling us an integral part about how, about the way we do business and the way that we, maybe the standard that we set for the types of employees that we have representing our business.
I have to ask, why aren't they? I mean, on the face of it, it seems like a very common sense thing. You know that you're not going to be, you know, I'm Joe Blow, I'm in the CEO office, corner office of the big glass windows. I'm not going to be on the front line every day. So I need to know how my people all the way down the line are interacting with the people who give us their money. Why isn't that a common sense attitude? It doesn't appear to be.
You know, it's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think because in theory, it makes absolute sense. In practice, it means we've got to have serious thought around this. We may have to have some tough conversations. We may have to change the way we've been doing things for a long time. It's a level of discipline. You know, I could use this example, and everyone out there knows it's important to be healthy. Everyone out there knows.
But look around,
I need to take
you.
Care of this. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know. Oh, but that donut looks so good. Or I really don't have to exercise today. I'm tired. It's that level of discipline. And so that's why, you know, I always go back. We're never forcing perfection because it doesn't exist. But we do preach discipline. And we do talk about the importance of connecting all of this together. And that's why, you know, that's why this employee side is so important to the work that Tony does on the customer side, because we help leaders. You know, they need to learn how to have those conversations. And that's probably one of the toughest things about someone who's in that type of role today. How do we have the conversation that preserves the relationship, but that actually creates some positive momentum going forward?
I don't watch TV, but it seems to me like there was a show, and it may still be on, where CEOs and presidents, owners of companies, would get on the line and work with their people and then reveal themselves at the end. What is that show?
Oh, it's Undercover Boss.
Yeah. I saw a couple of episodes some years ago, and I thought, well, that makes sense. And what struck me was how stunned the big guy was at finding out what was going on
mm-hmm.
in his business. I mean, across the board, they were just floored. And I remember thinking, well, why didn't you know this? I mean, seriously, why didn't
exactly.
you already know this?
I was addicted to that show because for exactly what you described, I can't believe they didn't, you know, they didn't know this. And always in tongue-in-cheek, I thought, okay, now this is some reality TV. Did this really happen? But I would say on some level it did. And you know what? Every business out there should be doing some form of that. What are your customers really experiencing when they're with you? And a little bit of that monitoring, it would be healthy for every business in some form or fashion. Because what you just said earlier, isn't it common sense? And the further up in the organization, most folks get, the more removed they are from the customer themselves. And the further down in the organization, the closer you are to the customer, the likelihood that you're less removed from the strategy. And so we got to keep connecting those dots, right? We have to create those loops that make sure everybody really is on the same page.
It seems like this book and your collaboration with Tony came to be just about the time when it needs to be, doesn't it? I mean, the Internet has really kind of taken over how we do business, online reviews, or even though we're very accustomed to them now, they're fairly new. So much of what we do and how we behave on the Internet is actually fairly new. So this book seems to be in the right place at the right time. How did y'all come to write this thing? And I know we're still recording We are going to lose the people in the chat room because we'll stop streaming in just a few seconds, but I don't want you to go if you've got just a few more minutes to stay with me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, okay. We do feel it's very timely. And to even echo that, Denise, this book has been probably 3 years in the making for Tony and I. We've been collaborating for that period of time, maybe even a bit longer. And the right time to say what we're seeing, what we're experiencing, we need to share that. And actually, it began with a conversation over coffee one day. We should do a white paper about that. That would be interesting, just to share some of our insights. And in true nature of what happens when Tony and I get together, it began to grow and bloom very quickly. And we said, why would we stop at a white paper? What if maybe we should just write a book? And in that moment, Denise, honestly, that's how it happened. And so within, I would say, 24 to 36 hours, we had an outline. We said, what would we want to say? And we had the conversation, is this a printed book? Is it an e-book? Is it both? Where do we start? And we made the decision to say, let's get just some initial thoughts out there for people, because what we're seeing, every business owner needs to see this. And that's really how it came together. And I'll tell you, we've had so much fun with it since. And it's only been out for just, goodness, I think we're within 8 weeks of it being released. And we've just had a ball with it.
Well, I don't want to make more work for y'all. I can hear Tony going, oh, God, here she goes.
He's smiling at me, just so you know.
I think it's gas. It's probably a grimace. But, yeah, you could be right. I don't know. But here's the thing. I mean, this book, the concepts in this book, the teachings in this book, I think are so timely and so important that I'm wondering if you shouldn't have an online version of it, a course where you can teach, you know, people who are owning businesses what they should be looking for, what the key factors are. So, Tony, I mean, get to work. I'm giving you homework.
You know what, Denise? Here's what I love about that. Great minds must be thinking alike, right?
No, I'm telling you. You've already thought of it, huh?
We are creating that. On both of our sites, you can, whether it's tonyboto.com or organizationimpact.com, there are links there where we have created and continue to create options for leaders to take this a step further. So we do have an online course. We have what I would call coaching that's available for leaders to say, I'm stuck. Can we just talk through some ideas? And we've even developed a much more in-depth opportunity for businesses to say, we would love to just partner with you and let's figure this out together. And through more of a partnership, really work through their information with them and help them create that strategy. Because you're right, the book really was the starting point to get the concepts out there for folks and get the conversation going.
Well, I'm excited for you, and I can't wait to read the book because, you know, I'm not a big corporation, but I deal with a lot of people on both sides, of, you know, with contractors, with employees, with clients, and I do a lot of referring to people who are not my target. You know, they may not be my best client. But I always want to know how I impacted them. How did they impact me? You know, what is going to be done with this information down the road? So I can't wait to read the book.
Well, we would love your comments once you have the opportunity to do that. And out here, I mean, I'm gonna make Tony grimace now. But you know, we have two or three other ideas in the hopper for some other books that take some of the principles that come out of the complete experience and say, okay, what does that mean for the employee? Or what does that mean for the leader of the organization? Or what does that mean for the customer? So there is more to come from us, but we're just kind of reveling in this first one for now and getting that message out there. And we will definitely be collaborating on some other projects together.
I think that's exciting. Well, Tony, do you have anything to say? I mean, you know, I know you're grimacing or you're smiling, so do you have anything to say before we end this interview? Sorry.
I'm not sure I'm going to let the two of you talk anymore. No, this is
Kayla, call me.
This is exactly on target with, as Kayla said, we have been working on these projects for, you know, projects like this for 3 years. And to be quite honest, the idea of the book, you know, when we decided let's go from a white paper to turning this into a book, it went from, I think it was 18 days between the time we made the decision to do this to the time that we were published in a number one bestseller on Amazon. So that tells you right there how in demand the work, the concepts, the information is. And you can go out there, it's everything from solopreneurs reading the book up through, you know, banking executives reading the book and commenting on it, and they're giving reviews online there. So it's relevant. I don't want to say it's relevant to everyone. It's relevant to people who care about their customers. It's relevant to people who want to keep long-term relationships with their customers. It's relevant to people who want to not just look good online, but actually be really good for the people in their lives and in their business.
And I like that in your life and business, because, listen, business doesn't stop at the door. Family doesn't stop at the door. We're human. It's all intertwined.
Absolutely.
Okay, Kayla, I'm giving you the last word. We can't let Tony have the last word. I'm sorry.
That's absolutely right. And now he is grimacing.
Sorry, Tony. Okay, well, listen, Kayla, tell people where they can find you and just kind of give us some parting thoughts and tell people where they can find you on the Internet.
Absolutely. You can find me at organizationimpact.com. That's not organizational, but organization, impact. And you can find Tony at tonybodo.com. And all the information that we've talked about today about the book can be found on both of our sites. So I encourage people to go out there and take a look at that. As far as my, you know, a parting comment to folks, you know, I would say invest $4.99 and buy this book, and then just permeate on it a little bit. Let it think about it. Let the concepts that we described really challenge you to go, have I really thought about this part of my business strategy? And as you think about that, there's a natural outcome that occurs, that something will occur differently inside the business. And we're here to help them. If we can help in any way at all, even if it's just, I read the book and I'm kind of stuck. We love conversations like that, because we want every business out there to be wowing their customers. And if we can help in any form or fashion of that, we would be honored to do so.
Thank you. Well, Tony, Kayla, thank you so much for being with me here today. It's been wonderful chatting with you. I learned a lot. And I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways and the example as much as I did. And for the audience, the show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths, Tony Bodo, and Kayla Barrett. And I will see you next week. Tony, Kayla, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Denise.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottogovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.